The late Meg Greenfield was quoted as saying, "I don't get stress, I give stress." For 20 years, Greenfield was the demanding, exacting editor of the Washington Post editorial page. She also wrote a column for Newsweek. 2 years ago this month, Greenfield died, leaving behind an almost finished manuscript that has just been published. NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg reports.
It helps having friends in high places. Catherine Graham, former publisher of the Washington Post, was a friend. "We are promoting Meg's book," Mrs. Graham said in her Georgetown dining room, one of D.C.'s most prestigious salons. Another Meg Greenfield pal and her literary executor was historian, TV pundit Michael Beschloss. Shortly before she died of cancer, Meg Greenfield told Beschloss about her book, swore him to secrecy, then had him push her wheelchair into her office.
And she'd pull a drawer out, and then behind the drawer in the very back of the bureau would be a disc. And on the disc would be a label with sort of a Greek-sounding code name.
From shush to shelf, the computer discs became a book. Part memoir, Meg Greenfield writes, part screed.
The thing that struck me, a book called Washington, written by an absolute Washington insider. I mean, in the center of the establishment. And yet she's writing about this town like an outsider. And that's some trick. And it's not a place she's crazy about.
The way she writes about the place is almost as if she's a temporary observer, very critical. She kept a very detached eye about what she was seeing. And the great thing is that here she was looking at this with the eye of the skeptic, almost like Henry Adams in the late 19th century.
But Meg Greenfield also had one of the best vistas inside the Beltway. She writes that everyone's playing a role in Washington. The Pauls, the press, they're all in disguise. Washington is high school, she says. Everybody's always nervous, at risk of losing power. Meg Greenfield disliked phonies and toadies. She liked being alone and among a small circle of friends, Catherine Graham among them, who can list Greenfield's favorite foods.
Bologna sandwiches with mayonnaise.
On white
bread.
Wait, and the important other ingredient, bourbon.
Oh, yes. Meg, well, toward the end, she was a lighter drinker, but when I first knew Meg, she really belted them down.
Yeah.
And she didn't mind hanging one on.
Well, and, you know,
and she was so funny when she did. She was really, really funny. And that made her great fun to be with, and also, of course, the brain was absolutely dazzling.
Her writing can get very turgid. I know she was a dear friend, but you both, yes, thank you for nodding your head, have to admit that.
I
but
do.
Here is...
But it didn't, you know, when she was writing editorials,
here,
it never did.
Here, however, is just such a perfect example of the funniness of her and the astuteness. And Mrs. Graham, I wonder if you would read that. She's because this is about who the kinds of people she says flourish here. First of all, she tells us that the most successful people in town are former successful children. And then would you please just read that paragraph?
Washington also gets the teacher's pets, the most likely to succeed. The ones who got excellent grades, the ones who were especially good-looking in an old clothing ad way, the ones who mowed the neighbor's lawn and were pronounced fine young people, the ones who got the Chamber of Commerce Boy or Girl of the Year award. You see, only Meg would know that because I never heard of the chamber. I mean, you have to come from
Seattle.
A small town. Yeah. Or the ones who figured out how to fake it and still make it. That whole range of smiling but empty-faced youth leaders who were universally admired, though no one could have told you for exactly what.
Wow. But that is, ooh, there's a little arsenic on the tip of that pen.
Oh,
it's
there
funny,
it definitely
but it stings,
is.
Doesn't it?
She was always outside looking with a somewhat acerbic tongue.
Hmm. How does that help you as a journalist?
I think in her case, it allowed her never to become so much a part of the culture that she was living in that she began missing things, not seeing certain things. And so in a way, she always had that acute eye and kept the edge.
And don't forget, that's what she did for her living. She wrote editorials and edited an opinion page. So in a sense, she was always commenting from the outside. And she wasn't influenced by anybody or anything, and above all, the conventional wisdom. Just when you'd think you knew the answer, Meg would come up with something with a different point of view.
She was, it is clear, the kind of woman any organization would kill for. Brilliant, private, self-controlled. Meg Greenfield never married. She was an acolyte to journalism, devoted to sharpening the thinking and writing on her editorial pages and in her column, determined to get it not only right, but as smart and true as she could. So now her posthumous book, Washington, and friends Michael Beschloss and Katharine Graham giving interviews. What would Meg Greenfield say about that?
She'd say, oh, gee, you certainly were nice, and I appreciate it. But really, of course, it was all untrue.
And I think she'd also find the whole idea hysterical that here we are solemnly discussing her as this great figure in history when I think what she'd really like to do is probably be standing in the corner with the two of us gossiping and talking about the other people in the room.
Michael Beschloss and Katharine Graham, friends of the late Washington Post journalist Meg Greenfield. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.